probably plain. The first intimation came when we had to halt at the King's Road while a procession of Ab prisoners shuffled by. There were hundreds of them, in the most appalling condition, starved skeletons, virtually naked, many of them covered in loathsome sores. Every one of them was chained, some in fetters so heavy they could barely drag them along, others manacled wrist to ankle, with chains so short you couldn't stand upright, but must totter along bent double. The stench was fit to choke you. And to complete their misery, they were driven along by burly guards wielding giraffes, the hippo-hide whips which are the Ab equivalent of the Russian gnaut. "Who in God's name are they?" I asked Miriam. "Rebels?" "You find no living rebels here," says she. "They die where they're taken." "So these are criminals. What the hell have they done?" Her answer defied belief, but it's what she said with a shrug, and I was to learn that it was gospel true.
What have they done?
Smiled when the king was in ill humour, or scowled when he was merry, served him a dish that was not to his taste, or mentioned tapeworm medicine, or spoken well of someone he dislikes, or came in his way when he was drunk. She laughed at my incredulity. You don't believe me? Indeed, you do not know him.
By God, I don't believe you.
You will. She surveyed the last of the pitiful coffle as it staggered past. True, not all have committed these offences. Some merely had the misfortune to be related to the offenders.
Oh, yes, that is enough, truly.
But for smiling? Tapeworm medicine? And he takes it out on whole families? How long have they been chained, for God's sake?
Some for years. Why he brings them down now from their prison on Magdala, who knows? Perhaps to preach to them. Perhaps to kill them before your army arrives. Perhaps to free them. We shall see.
He must be bloody mad, cries I. Well, I'd heard it said often enough, but you don't think what it means until you see the truth of it at point blank. And here was this lovely lass riding at ease in the warm sunlight, tits at the high port, and talking cool as you please of a monster to rival Caligula. She must have read the stricken question in my eye, for she nodded,
yes. He is a dangerous master, as his ministers and generals will tell you.
She smiled, chin up. But those who know him and his moods and how to please him find in him a devout and kind and loving friend. But even they must learn to turn his anger, for it is terrible, and when the fit is on him he is no better than a beast. Is that mad, Ras Flashman of the British? Come. She led the way across the road to the nearest pavilions, the first of which was the great red royal marquee with carpets spread on the ground about it, guards on the fly and servants everywhere. Groups of men in red-fringed shamas were gathered before the other large pavilions, evidently waiting, and the plain beyond was covered almost to Magdala by a forest of bivouacs and shelters. The army of Abyssinia was at rest. Thousands of men loafing and talking and brewing their billies, like any other soldiers, save that these were black, and instead of shirt sleeves and dangling galluses, there were white shamas and tight leggings, and as well as the piled firearms, there were stands of spears and racks of sickle-bladed swords. They looked well, as the gallus had done, and perhaps as soon as tomorrow they would go out to face the finest army in the world under one of the great captains. And how many of them would come well to bedtime? How many Sindhis and King's Own and Dukes and Baloch, for that matter? Fall out, Flashy, thinks I. This ain't your party. Lie low, keep quiet, and above all, stay alive. Easier said than done. There was a stiffening to attention of the groups outside the tents. The servants scurried out of sight, and Miriam suddenly whipped a noose over my head and thrust me out of my saddle, crying, "Get down! Be still!" As down the hill came a procession in haste. In front was Theodore, with a chico holding a brolly over his head, and in his wake a motley crowd of guards and attendants. I staggered but kept my feet, and was about to protest when Theodore, striding full tilt and shouting abuse at two skinny wretches hurrying alongside him, astrologers I learned later, caught sight of me and let out a yell of anger.
You have betrayed me. You lied to me.
He came at me almost at the run, fists clenched, and by the grace of God he was carrying nothing more lethal than a telescope, which he flourished in my face.
You swore you had no talk with the Gallas, yet they have marched in their thousands and lie now below Sangalat. How came they there? By Mastiat's order, and who prompted her?
He flung out a hand in denunciation.
You! As Christ!